show's not going to be mellow. It's July 20th, 2011. Very hot day here in Toronto, and I've got some hot information to kick off the show. Recruiting Animal here, in case you didn't know. Now, it's an obvious fact that everybody in social media is on social media to promote himself or herself or themselves. They want a people. They want a people. Sounds like I got an accent now. They want people to notice them and respect them and buy from them. But unfortunately, it's hard to get people to notice you, let alone respect you. You can write articles, but even if they're good, you might not be recognized as the thought leader you think you are. So here's what you have to do. Get ready. You get people to notice you by helping them get noticed. You help people to notice you by helping them get noticed. You pick some targets and you RT them day and night. And if someone RTs you, you thank her publicly. That's what I call my social media suck-up philosophy. And this week I added a powerful new tool to the suck-up arsenal. It's called Giving K. Giving K. I know I'm late to this party, but it's still a good one. Everybody knows about clout.com. K-L-O-U-T. Clout.com. It's a website that claims to measure your influence online. I don't put much store by automated social media metrics. No, I don't. But this has nothing to do with that. Listen to me. You go to Clout. You enter the Twitter name of your target. You go to her Clout profile. You see a list of things that Clout says she's supposedly influential about. Lots of them are totally ridiculous. You just press one, and that's called giving K, giving Clout. You are testifying to the fact that she has influence in that area. And after you give K, Clout asks you if you want to tweet the fact that you gave K, if you want everybody to know that you gave K, and that's exactly what you want to do. So you press OK, and then a little Twitter box appears, and it has a formal announcement that says, I just gave plus K to so-and-so for her social media expertise or whatever crap they put in there. But you can change it. You can edit that message to say, you know, I just gave K to Betty Jones because she's so wonderful. Just lay it on. Thick as you can, and send it out there so everyone can see. You can give K to lots of different people every day. But look, you should pick those targets, those special targets, and give it to them regularly. They'll notice. Yes, they will. They might not like you, but they'll notice. And anyway, that's my lesson. But before the show gets going, I'd like to give some special K to my good buddy, Chris Russell, at allcountyjobs.com. Allcountyjobs.com. You know why I want to give him that special K? I want it for his faith. His faith in the Recruiting Animal Show. I got an email this week from PayPal, and it said, hey, Chris Russell has given you another $20 to continue his ad campaign for another 10 weeks. That means he's contributed $40 to this show this year. Wow! And I want to thank him for that support, and I'd like to thank Lori Desautel at the same time, who bought a picture ad, $20 for 20 weeks. What a deal. I'm rolling in dough from people like that. Pretty soon the animal panel is going to ask me to pay them for calling in for their contribution to Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
It's not a game to me, A-Stringer.
I'm here to keep playing your A-game.
Hey, can't you guys leave that behind or leave it forward? Pay it forward,
no,
as Amy Beth Hale likes to say. Yeah, for the after show, you and Mike A. Stringer, okay?
I'm ready for somebody to pay it forward my direction.
Let's see if Amy Beth Hale, the guest, managed to make it to the show. Amy Beth, are you here?
I am here.
Yay.
Yeah, there's a bit of an echo, but
you sound fine, Amy Beth. You sound fine.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. So where's all your friends? Are they listening? Where's your friends? I mean, the phone lines aren't packed. I know it's the middle of summer. It's 100 degrees, and everyone's on vacation, but I thought I'd have 20 or 30 callers. Come on.
Oh, maybe they're listening online.
Yeah, they're listening online. That's a nice little fancy.
Maybe they're all
okay.
Out give and
okay.
Okay.
So Amy Beth I'm supposed to. Amy Beth Hale is our guest today. Her website is researchgoddess.com. Researchgoddess.com, a name that reflects the fact that until 1 year ago, she was an online names sourcer for recruiters. Now she's the editor of the Fordyce Letter and SourceCon, working at ERE Media for one of our regular listeners, longtime listeners, Dave Manister, the Kingfish of ERE.
Golf
Amy,
class.
Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's going to be an interesting experience.
Great
for
to
me,
be
so.
Here. You don't know what it's going to be like, so don't tell me at the start of the show what it's going to be like, okay? I'll ask you some of the hardball questions. First, I was reading your blog, and Nick Corcadillos, who should change his name, but I managed to figure it out.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
Nick linked from an article of yours to an article of his. He recommended that a hiring manager ask a candidate this question. What would you do if you went to a baseball game and a foul ball started coming towards your seat? And, you know, you get up to grab it, and there's a big truck driver seated right next to you, and he tries to elbow you out of the way. He hits you in the face, in fact. That's what Nick said, so he could catch a ball instead of you. What would you do, Amy? We're going to test you on that.
What would I do?
Come on.
I would probably give him an indignant look and let him have it.
You know what? According to Nick, that's the sissy's answer. You're supposed to hit the guy, okay?
Now, was he able to do that blog without any reference to the ladders?
This was before the ladder scandal. This was back in 2009. You okay,
you're
Amy,
digging deep.
I just got to tell you, Amy Beth, you failed that one, okay? It came right off your own blog, and you didn't pass that test. And I'm surprised. I thought you were kind of a tough cookie. You're going to say, you know, act like a girl just because a big guy is trying to muscle you out of the way. You're supposed to be standing up for women. That's not a good example you're sending to the girls who are listening to this show, the young girls who want to be sourcers, okay?
You've got to protect the moneymaker.
Okay. Now, sticking with Nick Corcadillos, he had another interesting thing on the same article. He thinks it's stupid to pass over an overqualified candidate who's willing to take less money in a lower status job just because of the economy. He said, this is what I'm going to quote him. He says, this company is afraid to hire people more skilled than it's accustomed to, even if the price is right. If this isn't proof that the world has gone nuts, I don't know what is. He says, the head of HR reasons that this, you know, candidate would leave when the economy improved. Imagine that. The economy has put some incredibly talented and skilled people on the market at a steep discount. These are smart people willing to take less money to do a lower level job than they're accustomed to. Buy low. Does this goofus know what that means? No. She's worried that an overqualified hire will leave when the economy gets better. What do you think about that, Amy? Because I have a strong opinion myself.
You know, it really depends on the situation. If a person really loves what they do and they're happy taking a pay cut like that, I think they'll stay. And it's just a case-by-case basis. I mean...
Yeah, okay, so that's a non-answer. Rayanne, what's your answer? Come on. Rayanne, weren't you there a second ago? Jerry, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I've got an answer. What's the difference between that person wanting to leave when a better opportunity comes along and just your regular person that's paid what they should be paid, wanting to leave? I mean, what's
Bingo.
The difference?
Yeah.
Well, it is more likelihood, don't you think, that the person who's, you know, there's a lot more likelihood. If you're making $100,000 and you take a crappy job for $65,000 or $70,000, as soon as you get an opportunity, you're going to want to go.
Yeah, but then you're a guy or gal that's, say, making $70,000, even though you were making $110,000.
Yeah.
And companies want to base their offer on what you're making now, because that's what you will work for, and companies aren't going to give somebody a $40,000 raise.
That's what you'll settle for.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't think it makes any sense. Does anyone else
hear
that?
It makes absolute sense.
It makes total sense. One of the questions you all always ask is, what would it take to land you? Does that mean you would say no to blank?
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody asks
and
that.
Oh,
right.
Really?
Not many people do.
Okay.
I never say, what would it take
something?
To land you? This isn't a fishing contest here, girl.
Hey. Does anyone
listen to Jerry's temperament.
Something?
I think he's feeling the pressure.
I can see. This is what you say.
A Stringer, do you have an opinion? Come on, don't wreck the show, everybody, so early.
Animal, can you hear me?
Yeah, who's this?
Alan
Fleur?
Hey, Animal.
Hunter, come on, tell us.
I need zero.
A person that will accept a job for much less money, will, just like Jerry said, will leave just like anybody else who's being underpaid. The market will determine it, and if a person is there for if a person accepts 70 when they're worth 100, as soon as they find something for 85, 90, 100, they're gone, and it's on the companies. It's the company's shame for thinking they can keep a person that long underpaid, and the executive knows it, and they'll never admit it to you.
There you go, Nick. You got a nice, clear, bold, honest answer from Alan Fleurer. How do you say your name?
Like the Fleur Engineering Company? Fleur.
I don't know that company.
F-L-U-H-R-E-R.
And on Twitter, you're A-F-L-U-H-R-E-R, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much for that bold, straight-ahead contribution. Now, Amy, are you still with us?
I am.
Amy! Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I can't see your face, okay? We're not on video. Now, on a recent blog posting, you celebrated
Good
your
thing.
First anniversary with ERE as an editor there, and you said, here's what you said, more or less.
Yay!
Okay, you said, every day I rub elbows with the best sourcers and third-party recruiters in the business. I'm an integral part of setting trends in both industries, and when I talk, people listen, and I'm only 32 years old!
Bold. Very bold.
That's bragging, isn't it? And I want
to
know.
Are you allowed to say
is
her age, Animal?
She said it on her blog. I'm reading it. And I want to know, how are you a trendsetter? Come on, since you apparently think you've got bragging rights to that kind of stuff. You're only 32. You know what, Amy? When I talk, nobody listens. Go ahead.
Well, I got my start working with John Bartos, and I know that a lot of people
on this call. I asked for your history. I asked, how are you a trendsetter?
Well, that's part of the trendsetting, is going back to the history. When I was working with John.
You were a trendsetter. This is the present tense. I am a trendsetter, you said. I want to know. Mm-hmm. Tell me, in the last year that you've been with ERE, what trends have you set?
We have had a couple of really awesome SourceCon conferences and added some new elements to it, including some speakers who have talked about things that aren't really, a central part of the sourcing function, but they have, what's the word I'm looking for?
Groundbreaking?
I wouldn't say groundbreaking, but the topics that they discussed were areas that sourcers need to be interested in. So, for example, we had a gentleman named Chris Hadnagy, who's a social engineer, present.
Okay,
at
you know
our
what? I mean, I'm falling asleep. I'm reading Twitter. You know what? While you're talking, if I have time to read Twitter, you know you're not answering my question. It's like, I mean, listen, forget that. It's just not the kind of trend that I'm interested in. Let's review
well,
your
animal.
Wow. Reading.
No, let
Animal,
me
you're
lead
a recruiter. I'm a sourcer.
I need the show. I need the show, okay? Let's review your career. That's what you want to do. Here's what you say on your blog. My first real job was the internet researcher at an MRI franchise office in Cincinnati in 2002. I developed a love of finding the unfindable candidates and figuring how to get in touch with that person who was impossible to contact. How did you do that? I want to hear some stories, some war stories from your days of glory.
Well, one of the favorite searches that I conducted for John was looking for a quarterback for an arena football team that he had bought in a part ownership of. And I had to get really creative with some ways to find these people because I was not looking for individuals who were very prominent in the news. I was looking for people who were who had played at D2 schools and NAIA schools who were maybe a couple of years post-graduation and, you know, working regular person jobs just like us. So
yeah,
I
hold
started
on.
Looking.
Was this person, were you hiring a quarterback to play football or just someone who thought an ex-quarterback would be a good employee in some other role? You were looking for a quarterback for a football team?
Yes, looking for a quarterback to play football with this arena football team.
Okay, go ahead. What's an arena football team? What's an arena football team?
It's a smaller version
smaller
of
field, not real football.
Okay, go ahead. Just tell the story. So what did you do?
Yeah, so, I mean, I looked in public records and, you know, I looked back through rosters from universities that were around the Cincinnati area. And after doing that, I looked in public records to track these people down to find where they had you know, moved to or whatever. And it's amazing the amount of information that is available about people in public records. I found some really interesting stuff. I found things that I didn't want to know about people.
Like what?
Animal wants to know, like what?
Legal procedures, divorces, car repossession, documentation.
Typical NFL stuff, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Assault, battery, weapons, charges.
And so, you know what? That sounds like a pretty easy search. If someone wants a quarterback, it's an odd one, but you just go and look at the old teams from the local schools. Is that right?
It's simple, but it's not easy. It takes a lot
Why
of time and
easy?
Effort to track that stuff down.
What do you mean it takes a lot? You're on the Internet, right? Did you do it online?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yes,
what's
I
hard?
Did.
Just tedious? It's just tedious? Is that what you're saying?
It's time-consuming, and there are so many different avenues that you can follow that might be red herrings. So it's time-consuming, and you have to know the right places to look in the right directions to turn in order
you
to find
just
these
told
people.
Hey, animal. Hey, animal. Hey, animal.
Yeah?
I'm going to have to take a little break from the show,
okay,
but I'm going
to
call back in. Open up my line.
He's
I know they're probably jam-packed.
He's got some money-making business. He's going to let
yeah.
Amy talk instead of him. Okay,
that's right,
Amy.
Gary. I'll co-host. Go ahead, animal. We'll do it.
Oh, I'll be back.
Don't take your time, Jerry. It's all right.
Okay. Now
oh, I do
Amy.
Take my time. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my Lord.
Amy Beth. Mm-hmm. Amy Beth. I want to hear about an unfindable candidate. You told me you're looking for a quarterback, and you know there's a bunch of schools in your area, so you have to just spend time digging through the records. I want to find how did you find the unfindable candidate that no one else could find, and then find out how to get in touch with them when no one else could figure it out. I want to hear those kind of stories. Come on.
Let's see. I mean, that honestly, that was a very difficult search because
Why?
Of the criteria.
Does anybody else hear that sounds hard? That sounds easy. Well, at least you made it sound easy.
I made it sound
okay.
easy because it's what I do. It's not what you do.
Okay. Well, maybe it is what I do and you just don't know what I do. So then you moved on. You left there. Why did you leave? You went to Jonathan Scott International, another third-party recruiter. Why did you move?
I actually went to SearchPath from John's office. I moved because I wanted.
Well, John's office was the MRI franchise. Okay, that was
Jonathan
Scott.
Yes, it was.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay, and then you went to SearchPath International, a third-party agency franchisor, and you taught the franchise owners, internet research and how to have a database that's organized and social networking and social media. You were like an internal consultant there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a pretty good description.
Were you doing actual searches in there?
Yes, I was. I was not only helping the franchise owners to learn basic internet research skills, but I was also doing searches for them to help them fill their databases.
Dude, were you recruited for that job, or did you apply for it? What's the story there? How did you make
I made contact with the folks at SearchPath. It seemed
Why?
Like an interesting opportunity to me.
Was it advertised?
Mm-mm. No, it wasn't.
How did you know about it? How did you know
about it? You researched it on the internet.
I actually didn't research it. I had a friend in Wisconsin who said, hey, you should talk to this individual who happened to be the researcher in the role at the time. And she was looking for a new opportunity to herself. And she said, hey, you'd probably be really good in this position. So being a gal who's always open to listening to opportunities, I had a conversation. And it sounded like a really great opportunity.
I'm moving on. Then you went as a sourcing strategist to Wagner Edstrom. I remember when you made that move, a global PR agency. What's a sourcing strategist?
Well, I work directly with the recruiting team, obviously, but we also partnered with our marketing and digital strategies team to do employment branding stuff.
Like, what does that mean? What did you do there?
Putting a good message out there for the company from a
like,
from
give
a
me
hiring
a concrete
standpoint.
Example. Hey, have you ever listened to this show? I don't like high level talk. I like nitty gritty on the ground talk. Okay, you were sourcing strategist. What did you do? Tell me one thing you did there. I don't know what a sourcing strategist is.
So one of the things that I did, and this was when I first started, was I reached out to a ton of people in the PR
that
industry
word.
Because I was
that's
new
not
to
a,
it.
That's not a word. That's not
we don't
a word.
Say reach
it's
out.
Allowed on this show.
We,
reach out
we don't,
is not allowed. Don't say it again. Go ahead. Who's ever listening to the show? Hey, cut your speakers off, you jerk, whoever tuned in there. Go ahead, Amy. Sorry. Amy,
I introduced myself to a lot of people in the PR industry and asked them who are the good people that I need to be learning from in order to understand more about public relations. So right from the get-go, I started to make my name known to the people in the public relations industry. And over time, that developed into good relationships and people who referred me to candidates. So that is all part of, you know, the marketing strategy from a sourcing standpoint, just kind of being a billboard on, you know, on the side of the road when people, you don't always look at the billboard, but it's always got information on it, right? So I was that billboard. Not everybody's looking for a job change, but at some point in their career, they're going to look at that billboard and say, hey, that looks like a pretty interesting opportunity. I was that billboard with that information.
Okay, so you built a talent pipeline. Is that it generally? Is that what you were a pipeline generation? Is that what you did?
More or less. Yeah, more or
okay,
less.
Good. Now, next job. We can't spend all the show on this, okay? Just speed it up with me. AT&T, then you went there as a talent attraction manager. What does that mean? And I'd like to know.
Well, talent attraction means getting people interested in your position. So I did
kind of the same thing.
Kind of the same thing that I was doing at the PR agency, except I was doing it on behalf of AT&T. I was very active with our social media outreach. AT&T Jobs was one of the Twitter accounts that I was behind, and I did a lot of correspondence with people that would interact with that particular account. We set up our Facebook page.
Okay, so it sounds like you really, hold on. No, you haven't done sourcing for a long time. Is that right?
If you want to define it in a traditional sense, it's been a while.
Yeah, okay. But you say, I believe every step along the way prepared me for what I'm currently doing at ERE Media. That's exactly what people want to know. I got emails saying that Amy Beth is the editor of the Fordyce Letter when she's never been a third-party recruiter, and that's a magazine for third-party recruiters. How can you justify your position there?
I have never recruited.
Drink.
You have to take a drink.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I have never recruited. I won't deny that. I'm not a recruiter. I am a researcher. But I have worked with third-party recruiters for more than half of my career. I cut my teeth on this industry working in the agency world and reading the Fordyce Letter. So this is kind of a full circle thing for me. I started off learning the business from Fordyce, and now I get to edit Fordyce, and it's a great honor for me, to be able to do that. So, yes, I have never recruited, but that doesn't mean that I haven't learned
a lot from
you
guys along the way. I got a message for your boss, okay? I got a message. I don't know if he's on the line. He hasn't said anything so far. But on Twitter, he says, at least call her by the right name. Her name is Amy Beth, not Amy. Come on. Don't be so petty. How can you work for a guy like that? Come on, please.
You know, Frank, you're right.
What? You're right, Frank. Who's Frank?
You. If you're calling her by the wrong name, I'm calling you by the wrong name.
No. That's like calling me Animal instead of Recruiting Animal. It's Amy Beth is a compound name, okay?
Since I'm the co-host with Jerry Gunn, can we
get
beyond your fear?
Anyway, let's go on. Okay, recruiting and PR. But you know what, Amy Beth, should we do the more personal things first? You had a list up there. You have a lot of personal things on your blog. You have 10 things that you'd like to accomplish this year. Would you like to talk about that?
Whatever you want to talk about, Animal.
Are you sure? I'm giving you a chance here. We could talk about whatever you want. I know you have stuff. So, I mean, I'm just telling you what I found interesting in your own writing. You want to talk about that? Now, I got to tell you something because it segues with what I want to discuss. You said you want to return to your walk of faith more diligently by reading the word at least once a week. Well, you know, next week we're having a big spiritual show for summer reading. I don't think it's going to be about recruiting at all, right here on the Recruiting Animal Show.
I'll have to make sure that I turn in.
What?
I have to make sure I tune into that.
Okay, now you also said you want to take a trip to Scotland and Ireland. Are you going?
I had to cancel that trip this year because my pet was ill and her health was more important than taking that trip.
Okay, now you said you want to spend more time with the right people and less time worrying about the wrong ones. How are you measuring that? I wondered.
I think, you know, right and wrong. People that are right in your life are people that support your goals and your dreams, even if they don't agree with them. You can always be a friend to somebody, even if you don't necessarily agree with their point of view, and be supportive of the things that are exciting to them.
Yeah, I would
and
not
those
support
the
someone.
I
would not consider myself a good friend if I supported someone doing something that I did not think was right for them. Okay, so
hey, Animal.
I just don't know how you could say that. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Is this the Oprah Winfrey show or the Recruiting Animal show?
God.
You know what? I am a nice guy, and I like to make it easy for my guests to calm down and relate to the show. Okay, so I'll move on.
You know what? We're half into the show, and we haven't talked about all these social recruiting strategies that she's put in place. That's what I'd like to hear.
What do you mean? You ask her. You ask her the question, Mike. You take over for that question.
Well, when you were going through her career, she did a lot of social media strategy work, so I'd like to hear a lot more about that. I'm sure there's a lot of old-time recruiters like Jerry and I that might struggle with social media a little bit. So let's talk about that.
Amy Beth?
Yes?
Answer his question, will you? Come on.
Okay. What would you like to know? I mean, there are several things that I could talk about regarding that. I could talk about Twitter outreach. I could talk about creating a Facebook page. I could talk about writing blogs. I could talk about, starting LinkedIn groups. I mean, what do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about Twitter and Facebook.
Your show, Animal. You tell me.
Yeah, I have a question regarding Twitter.
I said Mike could ask her a question, and Mike asked you a question. So you have to answer him. Now Rayanne's got a question. Rayanne, what's your question?
Well, it coincides with Mike's. Jerry is a big non-proponent for Twitter and using it in recruiting, since I firmly believe that sourcing is part of the cycle of recruitment. What kind of success have you seen sourcing through Twitter?
Well, I've actually seen a lot of it through the time that I spent at the public relations agency, and a lot of it, honestly, is just getting your name out there. It's not using these tools as resume databases or profile databases. And I think that's where a lot of people get off track with social media. These tools were not created for recruiters. They were created as communication tools. And that's how people need to use them. Otherwise, they're not going to get the results that they want from them.
Simple branding, just getting your name out and having
you
people
know, let me
learn
interrupt
about
for a second because Amy Beth had a big discussion on her blog about 2 years ago about this very thing. She was talking about the relationship between recruiting and public relations and recruiting and marketing and some other kind of communication thing. And she had a lot of comments. Jim Canto said, savvy job seekers don't – I thought these were odd comments. Jim said, savvy job seekers don't care that you have the job until they feel you are the person they would like to speak with about a job. Remember, he said, the recruiter is a brand, and brand awareness is not a transaction, it's a result. Well, I don't think they care that much about who they're dealing with. It's the job. Jenny Devon, however, kind of agrees with him. She says, as a recruiter, it's now more important than ever to engage your target audience using the wealth of social media and research tools available, then to follow through over the phone to truly develop a trusting relationship. You know what? I don't try to develop a trusting relationship. People don't trust me. They trust the job. You know, really, and any recruiter, I say the real hardcore recruiters would say, hey, don't waste your time researching tons of stuff about people. Get on the phone and call them. Is Maureen here? Maureen
Sharab,
are you here? Now, would
I'm
you agree
here.
With that? Should you do all kinds of research before you call someone, or should you just call them and find out when you got them on the phone?
I'm not going to say you shouldn't do any research, but I think the calling is the most important part.
Oh, yeah, why don't you want to say that? Because that's what you say all the time. Now, I went to a webinar by Donato DiOrio from Broadlook.com this week, and he went on and on. He said, before you call someone, take a look at their profile on LinkedIn. Find out what college they attended. And then when you call up, start off with some chit-chat about how their college football team did last night. And he happened to pick the same football team that Amy is a fan of. But you know what? It sounded totally dumb to me. Who guy knows you don't care about him and you don't care about the football team and you're just using it to try to pretend you're his pal? So I wanted to ask Amy, if I called you up out of the blue and said, hey, how about those Gators, what would you say? Would you trust me more? Would you trust me? And you say, hey, the recruiting animal, I trust him. He understands me. Come on. What would you say?
It's more than that. And as a recruiter yourself, you should know that. It's more than just, you know, calling up somebody and saying, hey, how about the Gators or whatever. It's more than that, and you of all people should know that.
Well, what is it? No, I don't know. I don't know anything. What is it that you're talking about?
It's putting the proper message together in all of its components. It's being relatable. It's having something interesting that they'll be interested in talking about, which would be a job opportunity, and making sure that you present it in a manner that's not going to turn them off. You know, so for example, when I would do an initial outreach to people, I would let them know that I had done some research on them and I knew a little bit about them. Hey, I read, you know, an article that you wrote, you know, whenever or wherever. I liked this component of it. I'm currently looking for this, that, or the other thing. Would you know anybody that might be interested in this type of an opportunity? So,
you know what?
You know,
I don't think too many people that write articles that you find online, I just don't believe that stuff. I don't know. I don't think that's a good example. Does any other recruiter here think you can find all kinds of stuff? Well, hey, Amy, what if you found out that the guy's car, hey, I saw your car was repossessed last year. How do you know
that's
like
where
that?
The sourcing comes in, Animal. That's when I read articles, I can track the person through their social profiles and find out a little bit more about them so that I can make that relatable contact to them. That's
so do you use social media to research them or to make that initial contact?
I usually use the social media just to do the research. I prefer doing email because some people don't like to be contacted through their Facebook accounts or whatever.
And what's your return? What's your reply rate on email? I didn't know that, by the way, that you contact people as well. Just like Maureen, you do the initial contact, it sounds like.
But
is
I don't do
so?
It on phone like Maureen. Maureen
okay,
is,
but you so you email people. Yeah, we understand that. I understand what you just said. What's the return rate on email?
I get responses from almost every single person that I do that to. Now, they're not always a yes, I'm interested. A lot of times they're no thanks, but no thanks. And a lot of times they are, I'm not interested, but let me refer you to somebody who might be. The return
okay,
on,
so that's
on that
good. Now we're talking
excellent.
Business. What's in the subject line? How do you get such a high response rate, Amy Beth? Amy
the
Beth?
The subject line is usually, you know, something personal. I'll write something like, read your recent article, or you know, something that is going to grab their attention as opposed to I have a job opportunity, because not everybody's looking for a job.
I don't know if I've ever recruited anybody who wrote an article. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I go on their Facebook page and I say, hey, that dress you were wearing in the club last weekend was awesome. Are you interested in the software engineer
what?
Job?
Hey, baby. Hey, Alan Fleur, are you still with us?
Yeah, what?
Well, do you have a comment? Do you research people?
Go ahead. I had to step away. What was the question?
Oh, no, it's okay. Well, you know, do you research people? When you're recruiting people, do you go and research what they've done on if they've written any articles and stuff like that before you give them a call? And if so, how many of the people you are actually recruiting have articles that you can talk to them about?
I will Google them. I will check their LinkedIn and see if there's anything prominent or anything of prominence. But beyond that, I just want the more background, the better. And beyond that, no, I can call them up. And it's also a wonderful – one of the best things that we do is – recruiters and sourcers and researchers when we talk to somebody animal is I really prefer sometimes to not have anything about the person, because if I get to talk to animal cold, I'm going to learn a whole bunch about your communication style, your character, because of the dance we're going to have to do on that first call.
Yeah,
I guess I'm not as skilled as you. I'm like Amy Beth. I like the support, but I don't think it's time-consuming to find it, and I don't think there's a lot of stuff there, even if you're a good recruiter or sourcer. But
I think it depends on what you're recruiting for, though. It depends
depends on the industry. Yep.
And
when I was with a PR agency, people in PR write. They're writers. So
right.
I was finding a lot of people doing writing. So it was a little bit easier for me
How many quarterbacks write articles as opposed to how many get arrested for drunk fighting in a bar, something like
or
that,
or fighting
right?
dogs, or, you know, who knows?
You know, the interesting
thing
about that search is, you know, I had one guy who owned a jewelry shop in North Carolina with his brother, and another guy who had started a children's playground equipment in Nebraska with his family. I mean, it's really interesting the kinds of things you can dig up about people.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's interesting. Now, I want to do a little ad for my good friend Chris Russell at allcountyjobs.com. Allcountyjobs.com. Chris believes that small is beautiful. And if you want to place an ad, you don't have to place it on a big job board. You can place it on a job board that is specifically targeted at a county. He's got all these counties in Connecticut, in New York, in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, all along the northeastern seaboard of the United States. Allcountyjobs.com. Can you say that, Amy? Allcountyjobs.com?
Allcountyjobs.com.
Brianne, can you say that? Allcountyjobs.com.
Allcountyjobs.com.
Can one of the women say it like it's a phone sex line?
Okay, back to Amy Beth. Thank you, Chris Russell, for your faith in the Recruiting Animal Show. Okay, now also, Amy Beth, you said on your blog that there is a big difference between third-party recruiters and corporate recruiters. And half the replies on that PR and marketing thing were from corporate recruiters. And here's what Carmen Hudson just said. I mean, it's like another world. She said, having spent the last 10 years posting and praying, recruiters are bewildered by tactics. This is, she says, in response to social media, this is what social media has done to corporate recruiting. Having spent the last 10 years posting and praying, recruiters are bewildered by tactics that require relationship development, targeted messaging, and branding. She says, she makes it sound as if that these guys are really just a bunch of resume shufflers. And I want to know from you, is that true? Is that what a corporate recruiter really is?
She's going to say no, but it's a lie.
It
That's
is
the whole reason why I have a business.
Yeah, it is what corporate recruiters are.
unfortunately,
they're very different. I mean, there are different responsibilities. I truly believe that people who start off on the agency side of recruiting will be very successful in a corporate role if they choose to make that move. However, I think if you start in a corporate recruiting role, it's more difficult but not impossible to move into an agency role just because of the difference in focus for those two jobs.
Amy?
True.
Yes?
Alan Fleur here. I'd like to ask you a question on that. And here's where it comes from. I think experientially that internal recruiters have so many demands on them, from policy procedures, dot the I's, cross the T's, that and in combination with the fact that at the corporate structure org chart level of where they get compensated, that unfortunately most companies cannot set up the right framework to bring in recruiters that can do what third-party recruiters do, because if...
Hey, speed it up. You're putting my audience to sleep. They're too busy to do to be good recruiters, and they've got their hamstrung. They're hamstrung by the rules. Okay, Annie Beth, do you have something to say about that?
Yeah, Alan, I think it's a good observation, and I think that's I think it really is just a matter of focus of relationship. I think corporate recruiters mainly focus on the relationship internally with the hiring managers, and I think that third-party recruiters, their focus on the relationship is, you know, getting the candidates in there. I mean, obviously the relationship with the whoever on the corporate side is that they're dealing with is important, but the corporate folks are, you know, the focus has to be more on the internal relationships.
I'm moving on.
No,
okay?
I think it's Animal,
you're not getting, you're wrecking the show. I like you, but you're wrecking my show at this moment. Let me move on, okay? Here's what someone else said. A corporate recruiter or something, she said, I rarely find candidates through job postings. The ROI on job postings is rapidly diminishing. I have to do a lot of networking. For me, it's about taking the time to get to know a potential candidate before you reach out to them. Now, we've already discussed getting to know that candidate, so who's got the time? But, Amy Beth, is advertising... like allcountyjobs.com, a job board like All County Jobs, is that giving a lower ROI than it has in the past? Is that what you've heard? Do you know what ROI is?
Yes, I know what ROI is.
Okay, just for the people who don't, it's return on investment, okay? We've got a wide array of listeners. Go ahead, please.
I don't necessarily think so. I mean, you know... Here's the problem. People are more focused on, you know, the method of delivery than they are about what is being delivered, okay? And that just goes back to basic marketing. You know, people are putting the cart before the horse with delivering a message. Let's figure out what technology to use. Well, have you figured out which audience you want to contact first? Have you figured out why you want to contact them? And have you figured out, the steps that you want to take in order to contact them? And then... is when you're supposed to choose the medium that you want to connect with them, you know, because all of those things are going to factor into that choice.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, anything you said. I want to go back to the fact with these emails you send out, you get referrals with barely asking for them. How do I send out an email and get a referral? I'm just amazed. That boggles my mind. So far on the show, that's the most interesting thing, that you can just send out an email to a stranger, get a reply, and not only that, get a referral. How do you do it?
Because I'm the research goddess. That's why.
Yeah, okay. Let's dig down. Let's drill deep, okay?
Honestly, I think it's just because the way that I approach people is very approachable in itself. You know, people are interested in knowing that you're interested in them. And my outreach to people lets them know that I've taken the time to get to know them a little bit before reaching out, and that I've done some research to see what, you know, their skill set is. And I think they're more open to networking with me because I've taken that time beforehand to let them know that I care, essentially.
How do you do that? Like, I mean, really,
Animal,
is it just...
Animal, well, there's animals. A way to do that. It's Kathy, and Amy Beth is right on. I think that the main hook is in your subject line of your email.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Animal, I read your
would
article.
You respond if somebody
I read your
says,
article.
Now,
no.
How about if somebody said
no.
to you, Animal, I listened to your show the other day, and I'm really interested in having a conversation with you. I thought you might be interested in something I'm doing right now. You would totally read that. And you
think so? I get that crap all the time. Anyway, I'm not interested.
So in other words, recruiting is like dating, right? Because it sounds like if I found some chick on Facebook I wanted to date, I might send the same email you're sending.
Yeah, well, supposedly recruiting is quite a bit like dating. But Amy Beth, what content did you put in these emails? Give us some real examples. So, you know, the recruiters listening can get a walk away. I promise people that I'm going to give them some learning to walk away with, and I don't know if we've done that yet today. So I want you to tell us what you put in those emails, those super winning emails.
Okay. And if you looked at my blog, there's actually a post on there with some examples of those emails. And I'll send that link
find
to you.
It on researchgoddess.com. Researchgoddess.com.
Yes.
If they go and do a search, what should they search? Just the word email? Is that enough?
Yeah. Search for email, outreach, and example. And that should
okay.
bring it up.
Okay, so Amy, come on, tell us, what is it you say? Tell us. We don't have to go read it. If someone's listening to the show, what's in there?
Okay, so let me first start with how I go about making that message, because that involves the sourcing aspect of it, okay? If I find the name of somebody, you know, that I want to reach out to, let's say that I'm reading a press release and I see, you know, Joe Q Public, you know, at whatevercompany.com. I'm going to take his name and I'm going to plug it in, you know, to a search engine, and I'm going to do some research on him to see if he's written anything else, to see if he's on any social, he has any social profiles, and just to do a little bit of research on him personally.
Let's pretend you're recruiting someone who doesn't write a lot of articles, like most of us, just to put you in the ordinary guy's camp, okay?
Okay.
The people
well, then
I
let's
recruit
say-
do not write articles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then
okay,
let's take an IT
ahead.
Person. Let's
yeah.
take a technical person, for example. All right. Technical
yeah.
people, you know, like an IT, like a programmer, will write code, right? So you can find, you know, different code or different languages that people write in. There's a website called coders.com, spelled with a K, and you can do searches for people, you know, based on what programming language they write in. You know, so I'll look there. I'll find somebody, you know, who's put their signature on a code, and I'll reach out to them. I'll say, hey, I understand that you program in this particular language. I just happen to be looking for, you know, this type of a person for this particular company. I don't know if you'd personally be interested. I don't know if you're currently looking for new opportunities right now, but I figured I'd ask anyways. If you could just, you know, write me back and let me know either way, and I think that's an important part of it. I ask people to respond to me even if they're not interested. That way, number one, at least I know that I've gotten through to that person, and it opens the door for another opportunity for me to reach out and ask them a second time to network with me if they don't do it the first time.
Really? What do you mean? How
mm-hmm.
do you follow? What's the follow-up?
Would they not respond if you didn't ask them to respond?
Jerry's back.
I'm back. Well, you know, it never hurts to ask, right? If I ask somebody to respond even if they're not interested, it still gives me the opportunity to write them back and say, thank you for letting me know that. I appreciate your time. Or to write back and say, thank you for letting me know that. Might you know somebody who would be interested in this job? So it gives me that second opportunity to ask for a networking referral.
So how often do they respond back?
The second time around or
the first
time
the
around?
Both.
Well, the first time around, like I mentioned earlier, almost every single person that I reach out to with this kind of an email responds, whether they say yes, no, or I'm not interested, but let me refer somebody. Almost every single person responds to that. Second time around, I mean, I get similar, probably not quite as high. Because, you know, if somebody is not interested, you know, and they're just done, they're not going to respond. But at least in their mind, I've taken the time to thank them for and appreciate their time for responding to me. So later on down the road, and I've actually had this happen, later on down the road, they'll remember, hey, that person was really nice and respectful of me, and I happen to be interested in looking at an opportunity now. So maybe I'm going to reach back out to her and see if that opportunity is still available or something else is available. And I have had that happen on several occasions.
And for the record, I just looked you up on Twitter. I would definitely respond the first time.
See, that's another thing. I mean, if your name is Amy Beth or Rayanne, do you have more success than if your name is Mike or Jerry?
No, I don't think so. It's a matter of being nice to people, and it's a matter of being respectful of their time and letting people know that you're interested in them. That's what people really care about.
And being cute.
Yeah, I'm going to borrow your picture from my Twitter profile and see if my business goes up.
Well, you know, I would hate to think that I've gotten where I am today based on my looks. I would like to think that I've gotten where I am because I'm good at what I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know, I've got some other questions that I'd like to ask, but there were some things you suggested that I ask you.
Animal.
What?
Did
what?
You know that
Kathy?
She was a boxing champ?
No, I didn't.
Well, she was.
Are you boxing?
Might you ask her about boxing?
Are you boxing, champ? I didn't see that.
I did some amateur boxing in college, yeah. I still have my gloves. I still have my sparring gloves.
So how come you didn't say you'd smack that trucker in the face when he's trying to get that ball or edge suicide?
Those days are over, and I probably wouldn't have had my gloves with me at the baseball game.
You know, all you need is the heel of your palm right to his face, and there wouldn't be any need for gloves. Okay, so I'm going to move on to some of the kind of questions that you wanted to be asked. When to hire a researcher? What were you referring there? When should a company hire a researcher?
I think a company should hire a researcher when the recruiter is still in the office at 8 or 9 o'clock at night doing his or her own research and sacrificing family time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How should the job functions be structured?
It really depends on the office. There's no one cookie-cutter method of structuring a researcher's job function. For some people, it's going to include a lot of the social media outreach. For others, it's going to be strict name generation. Some companies are really going to need, you know, people that are going to be on the phones, dialing into companies and developing org charts in that way. You know, it really just depends on your office structure.
Okay, since you're not going to tell us what the job function should be, you did tell me that you can answer this question. What should the sourcer not be doing?
In my personal opinion, sourcers should not be scheduling candidate interviews for recruiters, should not be I don't think it should be in their job function to be a secretary answering phones, you know, cleaning the kitchen. That's everybody's job, clean up after yourself. I don't think that researchers should be, you know, spending a ton of time working on the technology in the company. I mean, these are all things that are probably – that researchers are probably predisposed to being good at, but it's a misuse of their time. You know, you wouldn't have your recruiter in the company – in the office kitchen cleaning up, right? You'd have them on the phone recruiting and talking to candidates.
Does that count?
So you have your researcher in the databases or on the phone building org charts and finding people so that you can recruit them. You know, that's
I'm still
the whole
trying to make
What tools does a sourcer need? What tools does a sourcer need?
A sourcer needs a telephone. A sourcer needs a computer. A sourcer needs access to resources, some of which are going to cost some money. You know, you guys are going to hate me for saying this, but researchers need access to resume databases because there's so much more than you can get out of a person.
I don't hate you. Congratulations for saying so.
I agree.
It's important, you know, because a good researcher is going to be able to hack apart a resume and get so much more information out of it than just who the owner of that resume is. They can look at You can look at a person's previous places of employment and figure out other places that you need to be going to find good candidates. You can look at their professional organization affiliations and look at those association sites, and a lot of them have membership directories that you can pull from. You can look at any professional certifications that they have and go to those websites. A lot of those places also have membership directories, or you can use those acronyms to find other people that have those same designations. I mean, there's a lot of information that you can get from a resume, and I think that having access to resume databases is very important for an internet researcher, in particular a brand new one, because that is the best way that they're going to learn how to do the research.
Okay. Now, what about these tools like Broadlook.com or I don't know the other ones that are available offhand.
Right. I think Broadlook is a fantastic tool. A lot of times people get frustrated because there is a steep learning curve with that, but if you take the time to, you know, take the tutorials and to learn from the people who have developed and sell the product, they are fantastic tools. I've always been a huge proponent of, you know, of Donato's and all of the products that he has to offer. I absolutely love Diver, and I used Eclipse a lot when I was at SearchPath and at the PR agency as well. I think those are excellent tools. The only thing is that you need to learn how to use them, and that's a big thing with any of these tools, whether they're paid or free. If you learn the proper way to use them, they're going to have that ROI, as you mentioned earlier. But if you don't take the time to learn how to use it, if you don't read the user manual, it's going to be frustrating. You're going to throw your hands up and you're going to say this doesn't work when in reality it's you that didn't work because you didn't take the time to learn the tool.
Okay. You've hired a sourcer. Any other tools that you want to mention offhand? I give a free plug for our friend Donato. A past he's an alumnus of the Recruiting Animal Show. But any mm-hmm. other tools that you want to mention there?
I think the eGrabber suite of tools are fantastic. Again, uh-huh. they're excellent tools for researchers to really learn how to conduct research. There's a product by I can't think of his name right now. Refer Yes is what it's called, and they have a sourcer tool that will help
you
build tool and search strength. Yep, Refer Yes
Great
is fantastic. Tool. And there are also people in the sourcing world that are fantastic trainers. The AIRS folks do, you know, excellent instruction for, you know, putting together Boolean strings and learning different, you know, social media tools. You have people like Maureen who does good phone sourcing training, Connie LaDucer, Shally, and Irina Shemaeva, you know, she does great Boolean training. Glenn Cathy is an excellent person to learn from. There's a great guy at Research
How do you measure
Ocean.
Success? We're running out of time. How do you measure? This show went so quickly. How do you measure success if you hire a sourcer? How do you measure success? Just in terms of placements?
No, not by the hire. That's so wrong. If you measure a sourcer by the hire, you are basically not setting them up for failure, but they're so far removed from that process, it's unfair to judge them based on the
You're
hire.
Right.
Once a sourcer hands the candidate off to the recruiter, it's anybody's game. Whatever that recruiter chooses to do with the candidate is out of the hands of the sourcer. So I think the best way, and Russ Moon said this 4 years ago, and I still quote him from this today, it's like building a hamburger. If you ask somebody to make you a hamburger on a wheat bun with lettuce, pickles, and tomatoes, and that person gives you a hamburger on a wheat bun with lettuce, pickles, and tomatoes, that's a successful burger. If they give you a burger that's on a sourdough bun that has mayonnaise, mustard, and sauerkraut, then that's not a successful burger. And it's the same with sourcing. If the recruiter gives a sourcer, you know, a job spec and says, this is what I need, and that sourcer gives the recruiter exactly what they need, that is successful.
Mm-hmm. Are recruiters generally jerks? Do they act like jerks to sourcers?
No.
I have been, I've had both experiences.
No.
I've had
Amy
recruiters
Beth.
That
I like her.
I've had recruiters that have not respected the research, you know, side of the whole recruitment process, and I've worked with fantastic recruiters like Jordan Rayboy. He's one of my favorites,
yeah,
and he and his wife are, you know, they understand the importance of research. They have their own researcher within their company. They understand the importance of that research function, and I got nothing but respect from those two when I worked with them.
I noticed I didn't have any trouble to get you going into all kinds of details when you were talking about the condiments that you put on a hamburger. but, you know, funny, I had a lot of trouble getting you to describe other things in detail. What does it mean? You told me you like to talk about, and I think this relates to that, you know, the difference between the, the bacon and the cheese and the relish and the mustard and the tomato and the onions, where the baton gets handed off. What did you mean? We had a conversation, and you mentioned that to me. Is that where the sourcer's work ends and the recruiter's work begins? Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what that means. And it looks different, again, from every office and every organization. Some offices want researchers just to do the name gen and to pass that information along to the recruiters for the initial outreach. Some places want the researcher to do an initial outreach, an email or something like that, and then if the person shows interest, to pass them to the recruiter. And then there are other organizations that also have researchers doing the initial screen and then passing on to the recruiter. It just depends on the structure of your organization and what your individual needs are.
Okay, and there was all kinds of stuff that we, you know, at the end of the show here, but we didn't get to data organization and data mining. Are those important things that we should have discussed?
They certainly are. Data organization in particular, because if your applicant tracking system is a mess, it's going to be worthless from a research standpoint. If you can't find anything in your database, then what use is it? That's a very important topic.
Maybe I'll have you on for 10 minutes again to discuss that in the future. Don't go away. Alan Fleur, are you still there, or did you step away?
I'm pins and needles.
Well, you're kind of new to the show. Did I hurt your feelings by telling you you were wrecking my show, which was true, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings for telling you that. Okay.
18
okay.
Years
now, Amy Beth,
animal, you think you can hurt anybody's feelings here?
No, I don't really think so. Anyway, I was, you know, Amy, there was all kinds of things. I saw you whining about how hard it is to get a date and all kinds of stuff on your blog. And, you know, there was just so much. You're welcome to come back again, and we can talk about data mining and data organization and stuff like that. Any parting words that you'd like to say before you can't listen to the after? You can listen to the after show, but you can't participate. They have a show.
Okay.
So you have to hang up. You have to hang up. Do you have anything you'd like to say to, you know, say hello to Cincy Recruiter or something like that? Or
JJ.
I love Jennifer McClure. She helped me move from Cincinnati to Washington. She drove 2,600 miles with me. That is a friend right there.
And you didn't have to pay her?
No, I didn't. She actually volunteered for the job. Yeah.
Great. What a nice person.
What I'd like to say just, you know, is that there's always something that you can learn from every part of the recruitment process, whether you think that sourcing is easy. You know, whether you think that the recruiting part of it is easy. I mean, if you just take the time to learn a little bit about each of those functions in the recruitment process, you'll be amazed
Then. Do you have to be a genius to understand Boolean strings, or is it really something that anyone can understand? Or do you have to have a special talent, you know?
No. The concept, again, and I wrote about this yesterday on SourceCon, it is a simple concept, but grasping it is not easy. Doing it well is not easy. I mean, it is a simple concept, but it takes a lot of time to master it.
Amy, you'll have to come back to our show. Thank you!
Wow.
Wow.
What did I miss? Alan Fleur nearly wrecking the show. What happened?
Yeah, nothing. He was just asking a question. An animal went off on him.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It was going the, you know how animal gets when somebody tries to take the show in a different direction than what his head has already wrapped around. So
he rehearses the show days in advance, over and over and over. You know?
Maybe
you should try that and be prepared, Jerry.
What's that, Mike?
Maybe you should try that and be prepared.
Mike.
You know, I was born prepared. Mike, would you like to kind of trial co-host the after show with me right now? Because I kind of missed half of the show. I was involved in stuff. I'll let you take it for a minute, and we'll just see how you do.
You know what, Jerry? I didn't
you
have
being
the time
very prepared,
to research, rehash the show in my head, but sure.
Yeah, so you see why what you recommended to me a second ago is kind of not really possible. So
rehash
go ahead.
The show? But sure it is. So who's with us right now?
Me.
Kathy is.
Alan Flew.
So,
Alan
Flew.
David Manister.
Oh.
Maureen.
Wow.
And I'm still here.
Who was that?
That's Amy Bath. I'm still here.
You can't be on the show, Amy.
I want to be. Why can't I?
No, I think it's really the. Well, what is the rule on that, A Stringer?
I believe it's my after show right now, and if Amy would like to stay on, I'm fine with that.
I'll leave if you guys want me to.
No, you don't have to leave.
Amy, you're welcome to stay. Kathy, you didn't speak up very much today. What were your thoughts on the show?
I tried. I thought, you know, Amy was hitting on everything that I totally believe. I mean, I thought she was great. I think
kinda like
animals,
Mike.
What?
Nothing.
Kind of like Mike, yeah. Well, I think Amy didn't have a chance to go into detail. I mean, in an hour, you can't go into detail. But, you know, I loved everything she had to say, and I do it on a daily basis. I thought she was great.
I tend to agree with you. I think we should have covered less topics and gone into more
mm-hmm.
detail. I think every time she tried to have any more of a conversation, Animal was just moving into the next area.
Yeah. Yeah, and you
and the one thing we really didn't touch on that she mentioned, but then we didn't really get to talk about, was setting up a Facebook page, how you use Twitter to communicate with
right.
candidates, those types of things that I think she could have really brought value to the table. We didn't really talk about.
And I was going to interrupt with that, but I thought I'd get yelled at, so I didn't.
What are your scores?
Oh gosh, I thought Amy educationally, I'd have to give her 95. Oh, she's awesome. I think she was really good. I think Animal, 70. I think he was average.
Great. Thank you. Jerry, did you want me to go? Because I think I'm already showing you up. So did you want me to keep going? Or?
Well, it's pretty easy to show me up, Mike.
What are we scoring today? Entertainment, education, or personality?
Educational. Well, let's ask Mike.
I would say educational value, entertainment, one combined
mm-hmm.
score, and then Animal.
Then you got to throw out Kathy's scores and get new ones.
Yeah. Okay, so what
wheels are coming
now
off,
I write
dude. Back
down.
This thing up. Throw it in reverse.
Okay, what am I supposed to do?
A combination of educational value and entertainment is one score, and then Animal score.
Okay. Gosh, that's hard. Okay,
I'll
risky. Still stick
that's
with the
risky.
95 for the first one, and Animal I will still give a 70 because I just thought he was average. He had a much better guest than he was prepared to speak to.
I tend to agree. Maureen, are you still here?
Yes, I'm here.
So, Maureen, I think that Amy's business in some ways is very similar to yours, or at least you guys can relate on a lot of levels. What were your thoughts of the topics that Amy discussed?
Excellent question, Mike. Excellent question.
Are you talking about the sourcing part of it?
Yes.
I thought Amy brought some really great points to the table, and my scores are 90 and 80.
You know, I couldn't quite make the correlation between cleaning the kitchen and being a skilled sourcer, but I thought she made some great points.
Well, the correlation is that many organizations look at sourcers as
admin.
Yeah,
lower.
Yeah,
on the lower rung.
Yeah, and they want to pay them in the same manner, and it's a problem in the industry.
And they can't understand when they leave for real money.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
In your experience, Maureen, are most sourcers working as full life cycle recruiters truly, or are they handing off the candidate once they've received the commitment?
There's a push in organizations to get them to do the candidate development part of it, but I think it's a mistake because I think most sourcers don't like that part of it. They like the research, they're more of an introverted type personality, and reaching out in an extroverted manner is beyond them, or beyond what they want to do. Maybe not beyond them, they're just not there yet.
You know, somebody made a great point about the frustration of corporate recruiters now that they can't just, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but they can't just post a job and wait for responses anymore. I think
Isn't
that was a
that
great point,
bad?
And probably the whole reason why many of us have businesses, right?
That's
well, and what they're doing is they're running headlong when they have to build the relationships, having experience in this in three companies, they're running headlong into a time issue where they need to get their metrics and their goals done.
Right.
But in
right.
order to build those relationships and do the job correctly, they need to take the time to do it, and those two things go headlong into each other.
Who is that?
Exactly.
Alan Fleur.
Alan
is a great he's a great candidate, by the way. He's a great guy.
Alan, what were your scores?
Good guy.
I'm going to give the entertainment, so I'm 88, and for animal, I'm going to have to go 72. Amy Beth really came, once we really got into it, it was really great towards the end. I think if animal was able to keep that, it would have been even higher.
Note the correlation, Alan, to the show kind of being in a lull, and then it kind of picked up towards the end, which I would like to say, that's right when I came back.
Jerry, I noticed that.
Where would we be without you?
I don't know.
In a much better after show, obviously.
Carry
on. I just sit here with pictures of Kathy and Animal and Jerry in front of me as motivation all day.
We've got a picture of A-Stringer that's fairly motivational.
You know what? I have a picture of Kathy, but I use it after work.
Okay, we got a score coming in on Twitter from Brenda Lee.
That's the kind of stuff that an after-show host typically would not address.
We have a Twitter score coming in. Let's change the subject.
But now aren't we going to have to put a disclaimer on the audio?
Brenda Lee. Brenda Lee gives Research Goddess a 90, Animal a 90s, and Entertainment Educational a 70. So I guess we should.
That's three different scores.
I know.
Four,
let's take the 70 and 90, make that an 80, and Animal a 90. I think she'd be happy with that.
Mike, are you keeping track of this?
I thought Maureen kept track of this.
No, that's the host job. We're going to have to go back and get scores again?
Luckily.
See, no one gave me a job description.
Luckily, I've been doing this long enough that it's just in. It's just.
Where
I'm,
would
it's
we
happened.
Be without
it's just
you?
Happened. Yeah.
Who else would like to give a score?
Me.
Go ahead, Jerry.
70 and 60.
What and
70
what?
For the guest and 60 for our beloved host.
Are we taking a score for the guest? I thought we were taking a score for entertainment and education.
Education.
So
that
I was
what we call the
education.
Guest score.
Yeah.
We might have to throw these scores out because everybody's
God.
My goodness.
We've had this conversation before. Isn't the guest and the show one score?
That's not
in other
what
words,
we started
the
this
guest
conversation with, though.
See, Animal wanted to start messing around with this 2 months ago, and I'm all for a new scoring system. I'm new
my
school.
Belief.
I don't get stuck on this old school stuff.
My belief, if I was the official after-show host, would be that the show is, in fact, the guest. So when you give that score of a combination of entertainment and education, you're scoring both the show and the guest.
No, because Animal is also influential in whether or not the show is education or entertaining.
I think the explanation of both of the scores, the first score is, did you learn anything? The second score is, would you listen to this for an hour if you were on a road trip? Or 26 hours if you were helping a dear friend move to Seattle.
Okay, so those were your scores, 70 and 60. You didn't learn much. And 60 wasn't that entertaining.
I rarely learn anything.
You rarely learn anything on the shows.
It typically confirms stuff I already knew, so I'm refreshed. But
then
typically
maybe we
not
should throw refresh into that mix.
Are you
learn refresh?
Were you refreshed? Was it like an ST plunge?
Yeah, about a 70. About a 70.
It's continuing education.
Again, the reason why I carry Kathy's picture.
Have you two ever met in person?
No.
Is that in the offing? Could have met at True Boston. How's True Boston going? Anybody know?
I'm going to Boston tomorrow, Kathy.
Somebody tweeted that Levy's session was great.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
All right.
Who else did we get scores from, Jerry?
Rayanne.
Yes. I'm going to give 85 for entertainment, education, and refreshing. And
girl.
I'm going to give an 85 to Animal because even though it started slow, he directed it in to where it ended up being very entertaining, educational, and refreshing. So, well played, Animal.
I'd like to give my scores.
Are you giving yourself permission then?
Permission granted.
All right.
So I'm going to give the guest an 80 because I think she had a lot of great information and she presented it well. I'm actually going to give Animal a 60. I believe he wasted a lot of time in the beginning of the show. And every time she really got on a topic she could have talked about, he moved it in a whole other direction.
He's doing that a lot. He doesn't want to dive down into stuff. It's kind of irritating.
I really think that she could have done two shows and not run out of things to talk about, but she really didn't get to, like you said, dive down deep into anything.
Yep.
Good point.
Manister.
Yes, sir.
How's that Slurpee?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Maybe they don't have Slurpees.
I don't know what that means.
No, I know what a Slurpee
Jerry.
Is. What does it have to do with me?
Somebody was hauling on a fairly good-sized straw a second ago.
I don't
that
think
was me,
that
sorry.
Was Dave.
That was
me. I'm on mute when I'm not speaking.
Yeah, Dave doesn't do that.
It was actually a high C orange from Burger King. I apologize.
There you go. That's a good drink.
No scores for me this time. I just saw, Amy Beth is awesome. I always want to give her straight 100. So I'm going to remain this time around.
He's going to recuse himself.
I'm going to recuse. That's the word I was looking for.
Is that because she is an editor for Fordyce Letter?
That is exactly right.
Very smart man.
We need a picture of you in a very big white hat.
Jerry, if you would have come out to Vegas, you would have had that picture.
You would have.
And while Ryan's on the show, I happened to be noticing something on your Facebook page the other day. You seem to have this great new relationship, so congratulations.
Thank you. I do. Thank you.
Yeah, get a room, would you?
We did. We got a chat room.
Yeah, it's called Facebook.
Those are fun.
We all are
private
just so
chat rooms, aren't they,
Ryan?
What's that?
Those private chat rooms can be fun.
Yeah. Oh, I just turned red. Anyway.
Okay, everybody, how do you think Mike did with the after show? I may need to pawn this off on him for a couple of weeks, though I know Rayanne would like to do it too.
Mike is more than welcome to do it.
I did notice a certain panache to the after show this time around that sometimes isn't there.
Thank you very much.
Well, that also may have to do with that the main show was interesting and that we all were participatory.
I'll do some research on it. I'll let you know. Any closing thoughts, Mike?
No, Jerry. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it. And let me be prepared next time, and we'll have the best after show ever.
All right. There have been some pretty good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must not have called in those days.
None come to mind, though. It's only half an hour. I mean, you really can't even – it's 17 minutes.
Hey, a lot of things happen in a half an hour.
Hopefully I'll be able to replace my bilge line in about half an hour this evening.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yep.
See, this is what usually the after show consists of.
I actually had to replace
farm talk.
Brock, Jerry. I don't know if I told you that, but I hit an underground log a couple of weeks ago in my boat, so I just had to put two new props on it.
Oh.
Bummer.
Ouch.
Very expensive, large brass props, by the way.
Oh. Fun.
Like
big
$750 a piece.
Nice.
I typically walk around with big brass ones, so it's all right.
We know you do.
Lord.
We know you do.
Okay,
I'm
guys,
envious.
I have to go. Thanks.
Everybody
show.
Been fantastic.
All right.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Everyone. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.